Parents, welcome to another episode of The Journey, a podcast intended to educate, equip, and entertain you as we talk about important issues facing our families. PCA is a Christ-centered, biblically-based, and family-focused community of committed believers doing life together. We hope the information you hear on this podcast informs and inspires you to be a better parent. Welcome to The Journey.
All right, parents, welcome back to The Journey. Dan Panetti. I've got a good friend, and we were just talking about how long we've known each other, Hope Harris. Hope, it's been 7 to 10 years, somewhere in that journey. We got introduced by some good friends of ours, and you've been here and spoken on so many different occasions for things. I've had you come in and talk to just our seniors. I've had you come in and do a chapel for us. Had lots of different things where the issue that you deal with, gender and sexuality, is such a... and I'd say it's like a hot button issue, but it's not just a hot button issue. It's not just an important cultural issue. It's a very important biblical issue. Yeah. And so we want to train our students because it's not like this issue is going to go away. This is an issue that the enemy has attacked since the beginning of time, right? Trying to take away God's design, replace it with man's desire. And you have been on a journey personally through this. And then you really have gotten into the Word. And it has really, when I hear you speak, I hear both the personal and the Word mixed together. And I think you're one of the people that I really love listening to on this because you're not just coming at it from, you know, hey, this isn't my issue, but I've studied it. Mm-hmm. But you're also not a person who's just saying, well, this is my experience, but that's all I have. You know, you have been discipled by some great people who have helped you navigate this through the Word of God. And just where, you know, every time I listen to you, I hear a little bit more of the maturity and the seasoning as well. And so I just want to say thank you for being willing to bless our community as many times as you have over the years, because we have learned a lot from you. So...
Well, thank you. It's always a privilege to be here at PCA. I really do enjoy it. You guys have gotten bigger since COVID. I haven't been here since COVID. Yep. I was like, is this the same place?
I know it is. Yeah, but... we added a few things. Yeah. So it's been awesome. But let's just start, right? We're talking to our parents, and a lot of our parents probably don't know you. We haven't had you on campus for a few years when we did a chapel with you the last time. And so just bring our parents up to speed. Who's Hope Harris? And give me a little bit of that personal testimony.
Yeah, so I actually have been a Christian for almost 15 years. February 14th will mark my 15th birthday in Christ.
That's awesome.
And that's a radical thing for me to say, because it was not in my life plan to become a Christian. Mm. I was a out loud, very proud lesbian in Seattle, Washington. And I actually came to Texas to visit a friend who had kind of been journeying with my partner 15 years and I. Mm-hmm. We were kind of facing some rough times. And she invited me to come on down to Texas. East Texas is radically different than Seattle. And I spent 2 weeks on a farm. And my friend, actually, her and her husband were healthcare workers, so they were gone 3 days a week, and then they come home for four. And so, really, I was stuck in East Texas on a farm, really without a car. And so, you know, people on tractors would come up to me and say, hey, HH. And my friend started witnessing to me. And one of the questions she asked me was, well, hey, so if you're so pro-gay marriage, why don't you get married? And it was just like, at that time, I could say very easily, well, we're waiting for it to become legal.
That's right.
But really, the truth was my partner didn't want to be married and in a committed relationship that way. I did. And then, you know, she asked me the very awe-stunning question, Hope, what are you seeking for most in life? And it was peace.
Oh, and that's powerful.
Yeah, and I kind of was like, well, I want peace. And she quoted the scripture, my peace I leave with you, not as the world gives, but my peace. Yeah. And that scripture, for the next little break that they were on and off doing their thing with healthcare, I was haunted by.
Yeah.
And I was like, I was like really examining my life. I was involved in a whole lot of things, including shamanism, Buddhism, all the isms, and Judaism. I was studying to become a Jew because my partner was a Jew, and I thought this is a way to bridge the gap in the spiritual things, some of the drumming things that we did. I was like, okay, this is just getting freaking weird, and I don't want to do this anymore. But all of those peace things were very temporary.
Yeah.
But it seemed like this Jesus dude was saying, hey, I'm leaving you with a permanent peace, not anything that you can experience in this life.
Yeah.
And that was the turning point for me. So then Sunday came around, my friend was back in town, got me up out of bed, which, you know, for me, my practice was you sleep until you want to get up. And she said, well, in this house, we go to church on Sunday. Now, East Texas doesn't have big towns. Tyler, Texas is probably the biggest. And then Longview, Texas is pretty straightforward. In my little short experience of 2 weeks, I could navigate my way in and out of Longview pretty quickly.
Yep.
And my friend couldn't find this church, and she had lived here all of her life. And I'm like, well, that's just weird. You know? Then we ended up in front of this big Baptist church. For me, as a radical lesbian, I was like, I don't do Baptist, man. Sorry, I know I'm here at a Baptist school.
That's fine,
right?
Yeah.
Now.
Amen.
But I was like, no, they're my enemies. They don't like gay people, especially lesbians.
Yep.
And my friend sat in the parking lot and said, great, we're early, so we'll just have a Bible study. And she pulled out the one verse in the Bible I truly have memorized, and that was that God hates gays and you're going to hell. And that was from 1 Corinthians 6:11. I know that's misinterpreted now, but it was really kind of like, oh, here we go, man. I'm amped up. I'll argue with you. I can go to bouts with you. And she read verse 11 that said, but such were some of you.
Mm-hmm.
And two things happened while I was listening to that verse. First of all, there was a list. And if you're a writer, you know, at the beginning of the list and at the end of the list are the two most important things. And the other things, they're as important, but not as emphasized. And so homosexuality fell in the middle of all that. And I was like, oh.
Hmm.
And then the such as some are you, and I was like, hey, man, I'm born this way. I can't change. But here the scripture was challenging me and telling me I could change. And really my most permanent need wasn't to argue about sexuality and gender, but really to have a relationship with Jesus.
Yeah.
And I accepted Jesus into my life that day. And for the first time in years, I wept. And I then changed.
Yeah.
Just in small little pieces. And I called my partner up. I was here visiting. And I said, hey, got something to tell you. And she goes, great, great. Can't wait for you to come back. We'll talk then. I said, no. This is really important, man. And I said, I accepted Jesus in my life.
Yeah, that'll put a silence right
there.
And
it was like, and then the next words were, don't come home.
Don't come. That's right. Don't come back.
And so I went home about 5 days later, and all the locks on the door had been changed. I had my dog with me, so I had the keys to my car and a debit card and my dog. And I was like, okay.
Yeah.
So I went to fill my car up with gas, maybe get something to eat while she cooled off, and she let me into the house. And that didn't happen.
Yeah.
So I kind of became this homeless person, kind of bouncing from couch to couch with my friends. And my one friend, she was like, you guys, you can stay here until you figure out what you're doing. And what happened was miraculous now. I'll look at it and I'll admit that now. I did not understand it then. But literally, like, my friend here in Texas connected me with somebody in Seattle
mm-hmm.
that I knew from 30 years ago. I really didn't know them now, but we started having coffee every day, and people would walk up to us in a coffee shop and give me $200 and say, your hope, this is for your journey.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, what journey? I'm not going anywhere. And then it became pretty clear
yeah.
that God wanted me
God provides.
Move.
He's ready for you to move on.
So I drove to Texas, and I've been here ever since and been kind of on that journey since then.
Yes.
So that's kind of it in a nutshell to begin with.
Yeah. And then somehow you got connected to Sue Bolin, right, at Probe Ministries, because Sue was the one, when I was looking for somebody to bring in as a speaker, she goes, have you ever heard of Hope Harris? I was like, no. But we brought you in, and I just remember the journey that you were on, though, is because so many people ask me this particular question. I think it's a very interesting thing, is can a gay person be saved? And I always think about the concept is like, well, I've got a friend, Hope. And I remember very early on, you would identify in a sense where you would tell people, you're like, I'm a gay Christian, right? And then later, right, you'd kind of like, well, I can't identify with my sin and my Savior. And so I'm a Christian who struggles with a same-sex attraction. And then you just, I mean, it's been an amazing thing to watch you and to listen to you as you've just navigated this. And I think it's one of those great things where, you know, instead of taking a snapshot of a person's life and defining everything by that one moment, I'm just kind of looking and saying, well, let's go back to Scripture and let's see what it says about how does a person get saved. It doesn't matter what their sin is, what their past is, what their struggle is, right? It matters who their Savior is, right? That's how salvation comes, is through the grace of God, right? By faith.
Yeah.
And you experienced that. And then as you went back into your life and your lifestyle, it was like, God's like, okay, I don't fit in that lifestyle anymore, right? Yeah. Which a lot of people, right, based on wherever they came from, God takes us and he just transforms us. And so that was part of your journey over the next 15 years, right, is walking that out and making that, right, you know, asking a bunch of questions and really having some great people who have walked alongside you and helped you navigate those things. So
And I'll just kind of hit on that. You know, it has been a blessing for me. You know, we live in a fallen, broken world, but I didn't believe that when I first became a Christian. I was like, this sin nature thing, ugh, you know, you're telling me that it's a nature thing that's spiritual, whereas I believe I was born this way. And that kind of sent me right about the time, the very first time I shared my testimony here, was the time that I started really wrestling with this whole born this way, did God design this?
Yep.
And I kind of went undercover, which was probably stupid in the long run, because really, you do best in community where you can discuss things and people that are further along in the journey can kind of sit with you and not force you to believe something, but let you discover for yourself what it is you need to believe. But I decided, because I'm stubborn and a little bit unwise in that way sometimes, I'll just admit that I do know that about myself, but I started looking at the Bible and it was like, okay, well, I'm just going to go from Genesis through the whole thing and I'm going to prove God and these Christians wrong because they are wrong. And I got no further than the first three chapters of Genesis. And that was a 5-year journey of wrestling with my faith and sexuality and understanding that it's complex in nature for all of us.
That's right.
We all are bent a certain way. Some of us are bent towards pride. Some of us are bent towards making a ton of money and then using it to our own advantage instead of for the kingdom of God, right? You know, drugs, alcohol, sexuality, gender issues. It goes on and on and on.
Sure.
I mean, there's just a world of brokenness out there.
Yep.
And so, but it took me a long time to get to that scene that this was God's intended design and that God does not withhold from us. He doesn't do this where he says, well, you know, you're gay, so I'm punishing you for that by saying you have to be straight. Hmm. He wants us all to see the bigger picture that an intended design is what's best for us.
Right.
That it gives us healthy boundaries in engaging in relationship when it comes to intimate partnerships or whether it's a partnership with a brother or a sister in Christ, then we can then function at our ultimate level of relational wholeness.
Well, I'm so glad you brought that up, because what has happened over the last few years is gender has sort of gone away and God's design, right, has been erased. And so now, right, if gender and sexuality and everything's fluid, the whole idea of even you saying, right, that you were a lesbian, it's kind of like, well, Hope, right? There really isn't a gay or lesbian. It's all just part of whatever you feel for that day, however you identify, right? Yeah. And so when transgender came into that equation and kind of attached that T to that LGBTQ, right, and you go on with it, it really did change a lot of different things where, you know, we've got, you know, the whole idea is where does gender and sexuality and God's design, where does all that come from? And so that's one of the things that you're looking at doing, right, is kind of entering into that conversation and helping people not only share your story, but helping train people to identify, right, where do those things come from and why are they important in life?
Yeah, so I think this will come up on the screen here in a minute, but there's something called the circle of influence that's been incredibly helpful to me. And also, it seems like when I sit down one-on-one, because wherever I go these days and speak, I generally, for 6 months, am following up, especially with family and friends of LGBTQ people. I do engage with people that are gay identified and maybe struggling with their faith and sexuality. I also just have gay identified people that people want me to meet and share my story. And it's like, I'll do that. But is your friend ready to hear that?
Yeah.
I don't want them to be angry at you or me, but I'm willing to share my story with whoever wants to sit at the table. But let's go back to that circle of influence, because I think it's really incredibly important for us, especially as believers, to have the premise that we are all created in God's image.
Right.
And we are the highest part of God's creation. God says that very clearly as we look through Genesis. He says, you know, I created the light and I created the night and it was good. Mm-hmm. You know, and so you get Hope's version of the Bible today. you know, and then he goes on and everything that was created before humanity was it's good. Mm-hmm. But when we get to the crowning jewel of creation, he says it's very good.
That's right.
And that sets us apart. We're the folks with conscience. We have a thinking brain where we can discern right from wrong, engage in relationship with people on a level that animals can't. Mm-hmm. We are the part of creation that is called to have dominion over the earth. I don't mean that in a radical sense, because got to be careful about that dominion
responsibility.
Theology. Yeah. But we're to steward.
That's right.
And we're given that responsibility and that blessing.
Mm-hmm.
And we're also called to engage in relationship with God. And God is very relational. That's the coolest part that I've ever discovered in the Bible, is that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, they engage in relationship.
Right.
And they created us supremely for relationship with him.
Yeah. Super important, right? By his nature, he's relational. So if we're created in his image, we are by nature relational.
And that's where the intended design comes in, because God is a God that says, I want what's best for you. I want all to go well for you.
Yes.
I want you to dwell in shalom, in peace and goodness and health and wholeness. And we forget to have that conversation with people.
Yeah.
We assume it's a given that people understand intended design, and they don't. And it brings me to the goodness of God. When I think about creation, when I sit and I see a sunset or a sunrise, or the other day I was walking by a lake here in Dallas, and it's called White Rock Lake, and there was a cormorant on the water. I love cormorants because they're the kind of Karate Kid theme where you hold one leg up in the air and they have their wings out and they're just cool to watch.
Yes.
And so for me, that's part of God's creation.
Amen.
And it was a good gift for me to,
so cool.
On a sunny, cold day, I got to see a cormorant and it thrilled my heart. But that's first and foremost. We need to look at that circle of influence, that really in our hearts, eternity is written and that intended design is still there.
Yes.
That's why there's so much confusion, so much angst, so much frustration, so much anger around the whole issue of sexuality and gender, because eternity is written in our hearts. Our intended design is stamped there.
Yeah.
And when we veer from it, we are misaligned with God.
That's a great way of putting it.
Yeah.
Because when you, and I've heard this before, it's like when you run against the grain of eternity, when you run against the grain of God's design, when you run against the grain of the universe, you're going to get a sliver. Right. And that's the problem that a lot of people don't understand. If that design is not there, then when a person becomes whatever they want, right, there should be peace with that.
Yeah.
Right. I identify with whatever I want. I am whoever I want. I am my own God. I'm my own creation. And I can be at peace with that. But there's not.
Yeah.
Right. And there can't be, because God's design runs counter to our desires that move away from him because he wants what's good for us. Not because he wants what's bad, but because his design is perfect and good for us. And so that's a great thing that you have, is once you have that and you understand that, then if you run counter to it, you're never going to be at peace.
Yeah.
It's always going to be a frustration thing, right? And so, you know, whether you tolerate people and whether you accept them, it doesn't really matter, because that inner peace they'll never have.
Yeah, and I think that that's really key to the whole discussion.
Yes.
It's about peace. It's about relationship with Jesus. We tend to people, even today, like, I'm 15 years into this gig, being a Christian, right? It's not a gig, it's a life. But people will come up to me and say, well, you know, now that you've walked with Jesus for a while, when are you going to date? And I'm like, well, God didn't call me to mate, date, and procreate. He called me to have relationship with him.
That's right.
My relational future is in God's hands.
That's right.
He's healed me on so many levels. The fact, Jan, that we're brother and sister in Christ, and I love you dearly. I mean, I really do.
Thank you.
We have relationship.
Yes.
It is a miracle that I can sit down and say that without any hesitation.
Yeah.
And I have sisters in Christ that I have relationship with, and I see them through God's eyes. You know, I have a bent. It's more like white knives in the background now, but I know that they're my sister in Christ. Mm-hmm. And even people, like I have a lesbian friend in my neighborhood that we walk dogs together, and I don't see her as a lesbian. I do see her as a very hurting person.
Yeah.
That needs a savior, but that's what I see. And I'm so glad I see her that way. And I see her of value and importance. And she kind of is like blown away by that. She'll even say things like, and it's true too, her dog loves my dog. And I'm like, okay, you know, she goes, but your dog is the only dog that she likes. And I'm like, well, you know, I think we were meant to have friendship together. I'm slowly leading towards that. Yep. We've only just started talking. Like, up until a few months ago, we didn't really even talk. I try to say hi, and she just, like, crossed the street and go the other way. But let's move back to that circle of influence. And I'll kind of go through real quick at SIF for a couple of points I think are key.
Yes.
So we look at our family of origin. They have a great influence
they
on
do.
How we are.
That's right.
Our environment has another influence in what we do. Our life experiences come in there. But I think key to every generation, but particularly to this generation, is the messaging.
Yeah.
And there are two forms of messaging that I want to hit on real quick here. First of all, the messaging that comes to us even through streaming social media,
sure,
or podcasts or YouTube channels or, you know, other TikTok, or you just go on and on and on.
Yeah, it's constant.
Yeah, it's
always
constant.
Always going on.
You know,
right?
Your phone, and I'm just as guilty as the next person. I have my phone in the hand more often than not. And so we look at those influences in a new dynamic, especially in the last 15 years. I think that influence has just grown and grown and grown.
Agreed.
To the point that kids are attached to their phones. Even if we look back to our time, and we're old fogies at this point.
Amen.
But, you know, if we look back to our middle school and high school days, we were very relational in nature. We sat down and had lunch with our friends, or we skipped school with our friends.
And the relations were based on proximity.
Yeah.
I didn't have relationships with people around the world because I didn't know them, right?
Yeah.
They had to be people that I went to school with, family members, people who are near me. Right, where so many of our kids have relationships, connections with people
all over the world,
right?
Due to the blessing or the curse of the internet, and it's kind of both.
Yeah, it is both.
And so we have to look at that, and we have to say, okay, so that's one form of, I think, a high form of influence.
Yes.
Even in school, we, hey, you know, make sure you go to this link and you turn in this on this, and, you know, make sure you do the QR code here, and all of these things kind of come into play on a regular basis. makes life easier in many ways. It makes, like, as a social worker, it makes it easy for me to collect data.
Sure.
When I need data for people.
That's at your fingertips. Yeah. But a lot of the gender and sexuality things are talking about the whole social contagion, right? Yeah. Where now this younger generation, some 20 to 30% of kids are identifying, right, as transgender. Yep. And it's just, oh, my friends are. Right. And I see about it on the internet all the time, and I read, and I get in these groups, and I don't really fit in with whatever. And all of a sudden you realize it's like, what in the world? How in the world did this go from 1% to 5% to 20 to 30%?
Yeah.
And you're right. A lot of that influence on this younger generation, right? They're just kind of immersing themselves in it, and they're not asking questions. The parents are not engaging with them and working through some of these things that you're putting out there of saying, hey, let's talk about this. Yeah. Where does gender and sexuality, your ideas about it, where do they come from? Yeah. Are they true? Are they right? Are they good? Are they God's design? Or is it just man, right, throwing things out there?
Yeah, and I really do want to come back to that topic, mm-hmm. but I'm going to finish this because I think it'll play into what we're doing. Then the other part of messaging that is equally important, I think, plays a huge influence. And all of this, if we look at it, is a very spiritual warfare issue in general, because the enemy of our soul says this, that he comes to kill, steal,
and destroy.
And destroy.
That's right.
And what better way to get back at the enemy of his soul, God, who kicked him out of heaven because he wanted to become God, than to destroy
those
the
who bear
prominent
his
part of creation. And our sexuality and gender matter so much in that.
They
God
do.
Was very intentional about that. So if he can destroy it, he will.
Yeah.
Messaging plays a point in that. I can remember as a little kid and going to school, because I have dyslexia. And so dyslexia played a huge role in my ability to deal with numbers and letters, mm-hmm. or inability actually to deal with them. Back in the day, you just went to the slow class. And they put me in the slow class. I was bored out of my mind because I was like, wow, I already got this like a long time ago.
Yep.
And I started ditching school out of pure boredom when I was in third grade. But people said I was stupid.
Yep.
And that influenced me.
That's right.
It's like, I'm stupid. I'm never going to amount to anything.
Those labels are so important, right? And it's not. It's not that I'm stupid. It's just that the way that my brain works doesn't fit into the way that you're giving the information all the time.
But that messaging, those you are, which in turn translates to I am.
That's right.
And so those you are messages that we hear from our parents, from people of influence, whether it's a teacher or a coach or an aunt, an uncle, somebody of influence that says things like that, that's going to really devastate us. One of the other messages I got, because I was not raised in my biological family, because my mother died when I was four. And so I was raised by folks that really were very highly abusive in nature. But the father would always say to me, "You're not a boy." Can you imagine? You're sitting there in your own skin going, yeah, you know, but how it pierced me and how I internalized it was, I'll do everything I can to be a boy.
Yeah, I'll show you.
Like, you know, the mother would send me out to school in a dress in the shed. I had jeans and kicks and a t-shirt, and I put those on, and I wore those home through the dress letter every day. This was an ongoing process for 3 or 4 years. But that I'm not a boy thing, it was like, okay, so there's all boys in my neighborhood, two girls, and then all boys. So I played with the boys. I ran with them. When we got to the point of, you know, dating type things started coming up, everybody looked at me and was like, well, you're a dyke.
Yeah,
you're just that's what they called me.
Yeah,
you know,
kind
I'm
of
sorry
just one
that
of the guys,
offends you.
Right? It's like, yeah.
But you hear that at fifth or sixth grade, and you're like, what does that mean?
Yeah. Instead of having parents who help you understand God's design for you and appreciate that, hey, can girls run with the boys and play with the boys? And the answer is absolutely.
Yeah.
Right? But you can still be a girl. Yeah. And helping to train you in that, right, you didn't have any guidance and direction. And so, you know what? You push back on bad information, right, but weren't given good.
Yeah.
And that's what a lot of our kids are experiencing.
Yeah,
feeling,
and I think that that's really key, is that part of parenting and part of being a mentor and a leader for young people is to model what healthy sexuality and healthy gender look like, and affirming people in ways that make sense.
That's right.
Not affirming their sexuality, because that goes against God's design. I mean, even if they are identify as straight, we should affirm the person that God created them to be.
Amen.
And we should see that. We shouldn't be walking around saying, well, they're gay. You know, that's not our responsibility as a Christian.
Yep.
Our responsibility as a Christian is this is someone that is an image bearer made in God's image that is experiencing some questions and confusion that I might be able to just walk beside them and affirm them in Christ to become all that God intended them to be.
Yeah.
So that I am station theme works both ways. If we move on, we need to really understand the fall. If we don't understand the fall, that we live in a broken, fallen world and it influences every part of
us,
then we don't get it.
Yeah.
And that's saying a lot for somebody that said, I don't know about the sin nature thing. You know, I really like... You know, I'm kind of a nerd, and people don't see that because they don't see that nerdy part of me too often. But I really had to dig deep into that one because I just fought against it so much because it was so ingrained in me at 49, or actually probably in my mid-50s by the time I really started studying this. I really, truly believed I was born this way and that God blessed this thing called being gay. And so it was took a lot for me.
Yep.
And then the spiritual aspect, and I do want to read a scripture if you don't mind.
Love it.
And I know that for some, you might think I'm going to read out of the King James. I'm not. And I'm going to read out
it's
of
very
the,
poetical if you want to.
I'm going to read out of the message because I really think it hits it the way we want to look at it.
Love it.
So the world is unprincipled. It's dog-eat-dog out there. The world doesn't fight fair, but we don't live or fight our battles that way. Never have and never will. Mm. The tools of our trade aren't for marketing or manipulation, but they are for the demolishing that entire massively corrupt culture. We use our powerful God tools for smashing warped theology and philosophies, tearing down barriers erected against the truth of God, fighting every loose thought and emotion and impulse into the structure of a life shaped by Christ. Our tools are ready and at hand for clearing the ground of obstruction and building lives of obedience into maturity.
Yeah.
And I think that that's kind of a compliment of what happened to me. I not only was wrestling with scripture, but I had two key mentors that discipled me. This is really a discipleship issue.
Everything in life is a discipleship
issue.
Yeah, it is. That was 2 Corinthians 10, 5.
3 through 5.
Okay, because, yeah.
In the message.
Yeah, I just remember reminding you, we tear down strongholds, right, and all the arguments that set themselves up against the knowledge of God.
Yeah.
Right, so beautiful way of putting it, right?
Yeah.
But that's the point.
Yeah, it is.
That's the point, is what are the false narratives that you've bought into, that the world has sold you, that you believe, that run counter to the truth of the gospel, right? Well, one, you have to know the truth. And then you've got to admit, what are the false narratives that I've bought into? What are the lies that I've leaned into, that I've learned, that I've said, hey, I've you know, absorbed those. And then you've got to counter those with the truth of the Word of God.
Yeah. And I think that that's really key. And I think it's also key to understand that people are not our enemies.
No.
I mean, that's a pretty
assertive,
aggressive scripture, demolishing strongholds, tearing down. Well, we can't approach people that way.
That's right.
And, you know, last night I was at a leadership thing at church, and this is such a great scripture that this chick read. You know, we were kind of reviewing, what have you learned over the last couple of weeks?
Uh-huh.
And people were like dropping these bombshells. I was just kind of like sitting there kind of going, wow.
Yeah.
But I think it's really important for us to remember, as mentors and as parents, our young people are not our enemies.
Right.
That people that are wrestling with or identify as LGBTQ, that they're not our enemies.
Right.
They are a valuable part of creation. They are a person that bears God's image.
Yeah.
And our powerful stronghold, our tools, should be prayer first and foremost.
Right.
And we should be relying on the Holy Spirit to do his job. Not my job, but his job, which is to convict and convince people of their sin and to show them the truth.
Yeah.
If we can do that, it will make the relational thing a lot easier instead of just out of the box and out of the bat saying, smash your strongholds, demolish your thoughts. You know,
yep.
I think we have to look at it in a different way. And this scripture beautifully says it again in the Message. And this time I didn't discover the scripture, somebody else did. Welcome. A lot of people have read this. I've read this several times, but never hit me until last night. Welcome with open arms, fellow believers who don't see things the way that you do. Don't jump all over them every time they do or say something you don't agree with, even when it seems that they are strong on opinions, but weak in the faith department. Remember, they have their own history to deal with. Treat them gently.
Amen.
Woo! That's like, whoa. That says so much. I have, in my experience, since the time that I first gave my testimony here, I've started like talking in churches and sharing my story. And generally, about 85% of the people that I talk with are parents of LGBTQ people.
Sure.
And this topic can destroy families.
Yes.
It brings so much heartbreak, so much division, and so much pain and sorrow on both sides.
Yeah. And judgment.
And judgment.
From the outside.
Absolutely.
Very true.
And parents just wrestle with, where do I land on this? How do I incorporate my faith in this? And I think it's so important that you see your child as the image bearer that God is raising them up to be. Your role as a parent or even as a mentor or a leader or a teacher or a coach or whoever is listening to this is to steward wisely and to steward them into adulthood and into a relationship with Christ. And that discipleship piece is so important. The greatest gift I had for one of my mentors was a woman that is far younger than I, but wise in years, well beyond her age and will always be. But she allowed the Holy Spirit to lead and guide the conversations.
Yeah.
She allowed relationship to be built. She walks with LGBTQ people and that are coming out or are same-sex attracted and wrestling with this issue. She created Women's Day, and we would go and hang out at the park and have a picnic or go to Torchy's Tacos or, you know, different things. And that was so meaningful to me. And she discipled me one-on-one. We met for an hour or two every week, sometimes by phone, sometimes in person. And to this day, she is probably one of the greatest influences in my life. I still will call her and say, hey, man, I'm kind of thinking about this or I'm wrestling with this.
Yep.
And she's there for me 100%. I know day or night I could call her and say, look, man, I'm going back. And she'd come over and talk to me.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that that's incredibly important that we have those people that we can really have an open conversation with people about. I don't know where else I'm going now.
Everything. I love how the main focus that you've put in is relational, right? First and foremost, our relationship with God, and then our relationship with those who bear his image. So important. One of the things that I know that you want to give to our parents is some resources and information, right?
Yeah.
So that they can strengthen those relationships, not only with their own, you know, children and training their children up in the way they should go, but we've got friends and family members. And, you know, my cousin Betty has a son who's struggling with whatever. And it's like so many people have questions and they don't know where to turn. And so one of the things that you do is you spend a lot of time in this and you've kind of helped, you know, you navigate and weed through. And there are, can I just say, there are some people out there that are not giving good biblical information about gender and sexuality. Some people are kind of giving the, we just need to love people wherever they are. And it's like, what does that mean? Right? Like, what are you saying? Yeah. Right? You know, and you know, love and acceptance. And I'm just like, we have to be very careful with what that entails, right? I do want to love people wherever they are,
yeah.
But I want to point them always to the cross. Right?
Always.
And so you know, it's like, you know, when you've put some of these things together and you're looking for some information, and I know that you're about to start a blog and you've got some things coming out on your own, right? Where would you kind of point our parents to find some good
resources?
Yeah,
I think that there's some really great thinkers that are Christian that mm-hmm. we really need to look at. And I'm going to throw one in there that's not a believer, mm-hmm. but really has some very solid biblical information for not being a believer. If we want to talk about homosexuality in the Christian, that's by Mark Yarhouse, who is a psychologist. He oversees the Institute at Wheaton College for Sexuality and Gender.
Okay.
And he's phenomenal in his approach to sexuality and gender issues. He's probably a great thinker and gives us practical guides to not only the psychological side of it or the psycho-emotional side of things, but also a biblical perspective on
right.
that. So the homosexuality in the Christian, a guide to parents, pastors, and friends.
Good.
Way to talk about through that. Also, I think just because it's such a huge issue, and that's why I hit the parking brake because I knew we'd come back to this, is talking to your kids about gender identity. I think that at no time, and this is from a person that spent probably almost 30 years in the LGBTQ community as a leader, that at no time in history, as of today, are young people being influenced to turn towards gender identity and say, hey, look, I identify this way.
That's right.
Or I have these feelings. And we need to really have our knowledge in place and be prepared to have these conversations. They're not going away, folks.
Yeah.
The enemy of our soul has amped this up so greatly and used the influence of social media so well that if you look at, there are actual people that are gurus on gender identity issues. There's a couple of podcasts or YouTube channels you can look at. And on average, these people that are from male to female or female to male, they are running about 5 to 8 million views a blog post
yeah.
or a post.
Yeah.
5 to 8 million times. And the average age, 14.
Yeah. And I'm just going to tell you, sex education in a public school.
Or even in Christian school.
Well, but you know, they're putting a lot of misinformation
yes.
and unbiblical information in front of kids. And they're training them to see the world
yeah.
as, right, gender and sexuality are fluid. They're what you feel, right? And it's just like we have to understand right, that that is out there. And a lot of young people, the majority of young people, are growing up with that as the influence. You had the circle
yeah.
of influence. That's
and
the
I
influence.
Think that that's the message that's carried through. Whatever you feel
yeah.
is true for you.
Yeah.
And I would say this. Feelings are real, but they're not reliable.
There you go.
And it's really important for us to understand that a feeling lasts no longer than 90 seconds. It's how we feed on that feeling.
Yeah.
If I hear all these podcasts that have 8 million views and I'm listening to that,
sure.
that only amplifies the feeling. I want to come back to why I said Christian schools. I do talk in Christian schools quite frequently, and awkward when I talk to the staff,
okay.
just the staff alone. They have a hard time spitting out the word sex.
Yeah.
And it's like, look, we really need to get comfortable in our skin talking about sexuality and gender.
It's our God that created it,
yeah.
designed it, and gave it to us.
As
to
a gift.
Use it. Right. And we should be training our kids how important it is.
Yeah.
So if we're awkward in talking about it and having a difficulty, right, then
yeah.
our kids are going to as well.
And I think that that's really super important
yeah.
because God designed it. God created it. It's a gift. And it's also meant in its best form with its a marriage between a man and a woman
right.
to model what Christ's relationship to the church is.
Right.
And if we're not doing that, and if we're awkward and uncomfortable even saying the word sex, I mean, I had one guy that last year, and I'll never forget it because it was just like almost comical.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, So are you afraid to say the three-letter word that begins with S and ends in X? And he's going, yeah. I said, brother, you shouldn't be afraid of that word.
Yeah.
Just by saying the word sex or saying the word sexuality and gender, if we're comfortable because we believe it's God's intended design and it has a purpose and it has a destination for us, then we should not be afraid of it.
Amen.
And we shouldn't be afraid of talking to our children in age-appropriate ways about those things, because if you don't, somebody else will.
Sure.
And that somebody else is going to be somebody on YouTube or somebody on TikTok. And who do you want to choose to talk to kids about healthy relationships with?
That's right.
Do we want to talk to kids about dating relationships and unhealthy relationships? I really want us to push that boundary, because it matters. We should not be as leaders and influencers and parents, we shouldn't be afraid to talk about, here are red flags in a relationship. If they're not treating you with dignity and respect, then that's not a healthy relationship.
That's right.
Because God created us to be honored and respected and to honor and respect each other.
Yep.
That's part of love.
That's right.
And if we don't have that and we're being manipulated and controlled, which is one of my greatest fears when it comes to young people, then we have a problem, because kids are vulnerable. And, you know, I would say probably 75 to 90% of young people are going to look to somebody older than themselves that's already ventured into the LGBTQ world for relationship. Those relationships tend to be, and I'll just give you a statistic here that'll kind of blow your mind. When we talk about domestic violence, on average, 1 in 4 women will experience domestic violence. On average, 1 in 7 men.
Okay.
However, when we look at the LGBTQ world, so that's like, you know, 25, 30%, somewhere in there, 35% of the population.
Okay.
LGBTQ statistics. All LGBTQ relationships, indistinguishable between men and women, the statistic is 48% will be involved in a domestic violence relationship.
That's sad.
They're going to be controlled. They're going to be manipulated. They're going to use the bribery of, you haven't told your parents yet.
Mm.
So if you ever leave me, I will expose you. You know, or other things.
Yep.
And it's huge. Yep. And it's more damaging. It's damaging upon damaging. We really need to look at those kind of things and go, is that what I want for my kids?
Yep.
Am I willing to really have to not, because I'm not worried, or I am worried, but I don't want to talk about it because it's so awkward.
We need to be talking about it. And we need to be taking people back to the source, right?
Yeah.
God's design and God's word.
Absolutely.
Right? That's where we have to, you know, ground our kids so that when they see something that's alternative to it, when they see something that's a worldly substitute, they can identify that.
And they need to know that the gift of our conscience and the thing that says, something's off here, that's the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Pay attention.
And it's like, hey, we need to teach ourselves and we need to teach our kids that I need to listen to that prompting and not just go on a fling with my emotions because this person's giving me affection and attention right now.
That's right.
And it's really crucial to us. And I think that's really, really important to hear.
Yep. So other than those outstanding resources, right, what about yours? You've got a blog coming out.
So I just launched a ministry in November called My Place at the Table.
Love it.
And the goal of My Place at the Table is, A, to be a resource for support, primarily for parents to begin with, but also I want to set up a network here in the DFW area for discipleship groups for same-sex attracted folks and LGBTQ people.
Love it.
And then, you know, also I'll have a podcast going, because I tell you, I probably – at least once a week do a podcast of some sort all over the world.
Might as well have your own. Get the information out there.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you, there's so many different things you can talk about, so many different experiences, so many different, you know, frequently asked questions that you might as well just start hitting them and putting them out there for parents to be able to listen
because to. Because it's not a whole lot of resources out there just because of the time we're in our culture where it's almost taboo to talk about the subject of faith and sexuality and gender.
Yeah.
And we have to. I know my story is one that gives a lot of people hope.
Yes.
Because it's the end game of coming to Jesus and allowing people to wrestle with these things and not pushing them towards straightness or whatever you want to call it. It's really about discipleship. And about knowing Jesus.
The end goal is to put a person in a relationship with Jesus Christ.
Absolutely.
And he will change us, right, into the image of his son, right, and what that looks like. And the crazy thing is, right, Jesus never married.
Yeah.
Right? And so, you know, we kind of highlight marriage as the end goal for, you know, from a Christian standpoint. It's just like marriage is super important. Bible starts with it. Bible ends with it, right? Super important relationship. But we have to be careful of promoting marriage ahead of the idea of I just need to be in a relationship with Jesus.
Yeah.
Right.
And then
allowing him to take you on that journey and whatever he does with that journey. Right. But singleness needs to be brought back into the church as something where we say, yeah, there's a lot of great single men and women throughout history in the Bible, right, where singleness is not a demotion of a person. Right?
Yeah.
It is, as Paul would say, right? It's an opportunity to do more work for the kingdom.
Absolutely.
So that's a super important thing that we need to, you know.
And I think that that's kind of where I've landed is like, you know what? My relational future is in God's hands.
Yes.
I can trust him
yep.
that if he has an intent for me to marry, that he's going to give me that heart and desire for it. Right now, my heart is for the kingdom of God.
Yep.
And I know, you know, that motivation. I do want to say too, in that my place at the table, we're launching the parents group at the beginning or middle of January.
Okay.
And that parents group will last 12 weeks. This is an opportunity for you not to just become intellectually equipped, but to become strengthened spiritually and emotionally for what's facing you as a parent that has an LGBTQ child or a family member.
Awesome.
I'm not going to limit it just to children, parents and children, because there are a lot of people. I have a woman in my group, a life group at church, that her mom is a 73-year-old lesbian.
Mm-hmm.
And the faith gets in the way quite often for them. And it really causes the relationship to kind of be, oh, can't talk about this subject.
Yeah.
You know, and so we've been talking through, hey, how do you build relationship with your mom in a way that shows her the goodness of God?
Right.
And we also need to remember that God is not willing that anyone should perish, that all should come to repentance. And if we're really thinking about it, what causes people to come to God more than anything else? There's a scripture that says it's the goodness of God that leads men to repentance. Mm. We need to radiate Jesus so much. It's just like coming back to that scripture that led me to Christ. Kind of an odd scripture, right? To, you know, my peace I leave with you, not as the world gives, I give to you. That's like, you know, well, why wasn't she quoting John 3:16 to you or, you know, Romans 1 or Romans, you know, the Roman road?
Yeah.
And it's like, that's what I needed to hear.
Right. They're all good, but that's what your heart needed to hear.
Yeah, and so can we be that sensitive
yes.
to say, okay, God, you lead and guide this conversation. I'm having conversation with gay people in my community. I'm building relationship with them. I want them to see me first, and then I want them to see Christ in me. I don't want them to see me first. I want them to see Christ in me so that they can then say, hey, what's so different about you? And that's starting to happen in my community that I have been praying for people. I have like a top 10 list, and, you know, three of them are on it right now that live right in proximity to me.
So good.
We walk dogs, we walk dogs together. We let dogs into each other's houses all the time. But really, my goal is I want you to see Jesus.
Yes.
And I want you to know Jesus. It's like one of the guys said to me the other day, he goes, you know, I haven't figured out if you're a lesbian or not. And I'm like, okay. And he's going, there's just something really different about you. I'm like, are you ready to hear what it is? Mm. And he's like, let me think about that. And he goes, hang on. I really kind of like you as a friend. And I'm like, that's a, that won't separate my friendship from you.
That's right.
And so I know that that conversation is coming, but that's kind of the plan that God has given me, is that my end goal is for them to hear the gospel, but I want them to see Christ in me, the hope of glory, because that is what is going to draw them ultimately to repentance.
Yep. Yep. Well, it's a great story. You've got a great name for it, Hope. That just, it just reminds me, right? I mean, that's that's really what your story is, right? Is the hope that God can do in you what he's doing in me and in everybody, and that is transforming us into the image of his son, right? Through his grace and his goodness.
Yeah.
And so thanks for your time. Thanks
You're
for
welcome.
A continual blessing to our community. I know that our parents are strengthened, encouraged, educated, informed, and the resources that, you know, we'll put in the show notes and make sure that are available to them will only help kind of, you know, take this message to other people who are looking for the right information as well. So Hope, thanks for your time and all that you do.
Always a blessing.
Thank you for investing the time to listen to this episode of The Journey. Please take a minute to share with friends and family who will also benefit from this valuable resource. And don't forget to rate and review this podcast on your favorite podcast app. It is truly our blessing and honor to walk with you on The Journey.